Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Yes, that's right. It's your favorite edition of Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition.
It is their favorite edition.
It is.
It is.
So they've said, according to they, whoever they might be, it is their favorite edition of Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. The telephone number here in the studio, if you'd like to join us, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. Captain's Log, Stardate 09102023. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, joining me.
It's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
I was putting in who the hosts were on the... We always write the host names down or whoever did whatever day. And somehow the N didn't come through.
Icky?
Icky. So that's your new name.
Okay.
Your new name is Icky.
That's it.
I-K-K-I, not I-C-K-Y, right?
Nope, just... Yeah.
Icky.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, ew, she's Icky.
There was a cartoon when I was a kid. I forget what the name of the cartoon was, but there was an episode where the babysitter, Vicky... And they didn't like her, so they made a song called Icky Vicky.
Oh,
so there
nice.
Was a little period in my life
you
where
like
people
Icky
would.
Nikki?
Yeah.
So you're not unfamiliar with this particular nickname.
Is this a cartoon or a live action?
It's a cartoon, yeah.
Okay.
Which is funny because, like, we've nicknamed a nickname because Nikki is a nickname.
It right? is, yes.
So, at any rate.
That's a double nickname.
Yeah, it's a meta nickname. Really, it's a nickname within a nickname, which is all sorts of weird. But then again, so are we. And that's why you're listening to the Sunday night edition.
Of a made-up name.
Free Talk Live. A made-up name?
Well, because the full name's like Nikki Sunshine, right?
Well, the sunshine isn't really made up. Sunshine exists.
Okay.
You know? And she's kind of bright.
Isn't everything made up?
It's made up of something.
No, like, how'd you get your name? How'd you get your name? How does anybody get their name? Your parents just make it up and then they... You know,
so I'm unique.
Write it down on a piece of paper.
Yeah. I rejected that and changed it.
I'm unique in that my friend was trying to insult me and I turned it into a legend.
Like, joke's on you. I'm into that.
Kind of, yeah. No, it was a weird sequence of events. I was moving into a house and I knocked over my friend's beer by moving the tower speaker. And he goes, way to go, Captain Kickass. You just knocked over my beer. And I'm like, oh, sorry, dude. I'll get you another one, you know. And I did, and it was fine. And then I was auditioning for a band, and they all had pseudonyms, right? And that's where I stole the Buckshot Esquire from, because the drummer was Eugenius the Human Pump Handle Slamming Machine Buckshot Esquire, if you will. And so I stole that, you know, suffix from him. They were like, you got to have a pseudonym, dude. And I'm like, Captain Kickass, because I was just called that like 2 days ago by my buddy Jake as an insult. I'll turn it into my stage name. And this was right at the time when, the internet was first getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the first rule of the internet.
Yeah, don't
never share your real name.
Yeah. Right. Don't put your real stuff on the internet. And so there were forums still. Forums were a big thing. They were the newest thing that was going on. And there was a group of heavy metal musicians that started a website called the SMO, SeattleMetalOnline.com. And so all of the independent musicians sort of joined this thing, and everybody had a pseudonym.
Right? As they should.
And you would use that website to talk to other bands and network with them. And, oh, hey, such and such band dropped off our bill. We need a band to fill, you know. Or if you needed a band, you put that up there. Or if, you know, all of these kinds that you would network. Or I need a fill-in bass player for this one gig because my guy's out of town or his mom died or whatever. You could get all of that stuff done in one place. And it was pretty instrumental to the success of the underground heavy metal scene in Seattle. And so... just from that, Captain Kickass began. So, like, Captain Kickass is actually older than MySpace.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's old.
Yeah. So, like, the terminology. And I pointed this out to Facebook when they tried to shut me down. I was like, look, Captain Kickass, you know, is my authentic name online, and it has been since before you were even a thing. So, at any rate. Let's go right away to some of your calls and thoughts. We've got Mr. David Ridley of the Ridley Report. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You, I hate to talk about myself too much here, but you remember that video back in 2018 where King State College kicked me off the campus because I tried to film a government meeting?
I do actually remember that. Yeah, vaguely, but still.
So that has brought me back to King State College, you know, now and then. You know, censorship draws me like a magnet. And I was over there last month.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, I guess it was on the 23rd. I discovered, actually I discovered this online. This is part of why I went over there. Apparently they've got an event coming up where they're going to ban coats.
Coats?
Coats.
Yes, they're going to ban people from bringing, it's like a speech, from giving a speech. They're going to ban people, they're banning everybody from bringing coats into the building where the speech is going
to
be held.
What about jackets? Could you wear a jacket?
Yeah. Oh, yes, jackets also are banned.
I mean, to be fair, it's not cold enough for coats or jackets yet, so you've got to be some kind of psychopath to want to wear
debate.
One.
Debate. I know people that wear, you know, like sweaters in the winter.
It's not winter yet.
I mean, no, sorry, I meant in the summer. But anyways, like, you can't really dictate what someone else's body temperature is or,
psychopaths.
What about a vest? Could you wear a vest?
I should clarify that it may not be a ban in the whole building, but in the auditorium or whatever where the speech is going to be given, that's where the coats at least there.
I don't want you hiding anything up your sleeve.
Will they at least be providing a coat check service?
Yes, there'll be a place people can hand their coats in, and like a coat buyback.
We should overwhelm the coat buyback, and everyone should just be handed a coat out front to check it when they go.
Just go to the thrift store, buy a whole rack of coats, hand them out to everybody. Yeah.
So what is the purpose, though, of the coat slash jacket ban?
Why the ban?
Okay, so I went into the building and just thought, I'll just ask the first employee that I see, right? And sure enough, I walked up to a guy's office, and there was actually a relatively nice King State College employee, and he answered my questions. All right, they're on camera. And this is all up on RidleyReport.com. And, you know, he just said, he gave some sort of a vague answer. And you should hear him say it for yourself. But he basically sort of a vague answer about, security, and there's been, you know, some people don't like some people, and, you know, that kind of thing.
And it's the rule of the speaker, and the speaker wants it that way, and so they acquiesce to the speaker.
Probably so. And the speaker is not particularly well known. I've never heard of her. She's an author. She's been, you know, she's had some articles in, you know, major newspapers. But, you know, she's not a household name by any stretch.
Is it that is asking for the ban on coats?
Well, he goes into that, I think, to some extent. I don't remember exactly what he said. Just look at the tape.
Okay.
She's got, like, PTSD for jackets, and it would trigger her, and they don't want her to have a mental health breakdown.
Well,
on the
I mean, you think if she was that sensitive that maybe she shouldn't be a public speaker, but that's me being insensitive.
No, that's why it's in the rider. You be the public speaker if you want to see my talk. I don't like people in coats.
Completely unrelated to this story that Ridley is telling us. There was I don't remember the artist. Maybe you remember. There was an artist, late 80s, early 90s, that had an album called Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
Nice.
Oh, I don't remember.
This
magic rectangle die.
This speech will be in October, so it's not at a particularly cool, you know, not a particularly warm time of year.
Yeah.
They're also banning purses and videography.
Ooh. That's a lot of phobias. I retract.
So are they worried about people bringing in, like, firearms? Like, I don't understand. You think, like,
they didn't ban firearms.
Right, yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, right, yeah. So that's a good point.
So apparently you can open carry into this place,
but you can't wear a jacket?
You just can't be comfortable in temperature.
That's actually interesting. That makes me interested to open carry, very obviously. Venue, yeah. Like, I'll, you know, like, sling a, you know, a right, yeah, AR-15 across my back and go in.
You got a couple shots on your hips.
Also, it's the campus, so that might already be a blanket rule. Is no it? Firearms? Okay. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
I think that was a rule at, like, every college I went to.
I have been on campus probably 20 times or so, maybe more. We used to have a Wednesday breakfast at the Keene State University at their cafeteria on Wednesdays or whatever, and so I would go every Wednesday. I don't recall ever once seeing anybody armed, so they may have some prohibition against it. So.
Also, I want to say that the band you were talking about is Blink-182. But that wouldn't have been the 80s.
Horrible. It's the 90s, right?
Yeah, it's the 90s.
Okay. Well, I said 80s or 90s.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dave.
The statement that they issued does not mention firearms. In answer to your question, that was significantly, I guess, omitted from the list of things that they banned from the speech.
Wow. Yeah. All right, so you did a video on this, and it's available at RidleyReport.com?
Correct.
All right.
Like, just tell us what you don't want, right? It's not about the jacket. Just tell us what it's about, right? It's not about the purse. Just tell us what it's about. What are you really concerned about? Because it can't be jackets and purses.
So another detail, and maybe this is relevant, maybe it's not, but the place where this is occurring is called the Holocaust Center, I guess is what it's usually referred to as, like a Holocaust Museum or something like that.
Okay.
I don't remember, it's the Cohen, I can't remember, I don't have the exact proper title,
it's the only approved place on campus where you can do Holocaust related activities.
I guess. And the speech is called something like...
Just one less thing to take off before you get into the shower.
The speech is called something like being Jewish in a non-Jewish world. So maybe there's a fear of anti-Semitism or something like that is driving them to make these bans.
I mean, but just like, what does that have to do with jackets and purses?
The purse is not kosher. Mm-hmm.
That's where it's really throwing me off.
Yeah,
this was an ethically slaughtered lamb. In which the leather was taken to make my purse.
Are you going to do a follow-up on this too, Ridley? Like when it goes on?
It's October 3rd when the speech is. Like I said, I've kind of got my questions more or less answered when I walked in there.
Yep.
And they were not trying to censor me that day I was there. If I were to try to go back inside during the speech, they would censor me and or call the police.
Well, I'm just saying maybe see what happens, you know, like go in on October whatever. And, like, wear a coat. See what happens.
Wear your coat under your shirt. Then it's an undercoat.
Right. It's not an overcoat. It's an undercoat.
This is my petticoat.
Logistics drives policy when you're the Ridley Report and you don't have a car. So if it's convenient for me to get to Keene around then I will, you know, I'll probably make that part of my schedule. But again, it all revolves around the logistics.
All right, everybody listening, keep your eyes open for the Ridley signal in the sky sometime in early October, and help Ridley get to this event. Hey, Ridley, we appreciate you. Everybody visit RidleyReport.com. Thanks for the call, man.
That's backwards. Ridley should have his own signal to hail an Uber.
He should. Oh, dude. Aww,
that was all your fault.
It was totally my fault.
We talked about it pre-show.
We did, and then I selected the wrong caller, and now the caller that I was going to take first, like, literally just hung up as I was going to take the call.
And he paid for all that time he was on hold.
Sorry, Brandon. If you can make another call, do it. I'll pick up the call. I don't know if he's listening or not, but...
More than likely not.
Somebody called from what I believe is jail. Based on the caller ID that was prepended there. And so I took the call, and I meant to take him first because I figured, well, he's got a limited amount of time, and I hit the wrong button, and we took Ridley anyway. And so then, you know, I'm like, okay, well, let's give Ridley some time, you know, and okay, we entered the call, and just as I was going to take Brandon's call, like, gone.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, I feel like, what's that Bob Barker trombone?
Is that a trombone?
Boom, 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 whatever that is. Yeah.
Yep.
I do want to mention, since it's still the first segment of this show, that last night I mentioned this too on Free Talk Live. I think I mentioned it on Beard Talk Live. I'm going to mention it again today. We have something in the live reads where we've been asking people to write letters regarding Ian Freeman's character and send them in. Well, it's too late for that now. If you didn't send your letter in, it's far too late. But what it's not too late for is for you to show up at the courthouse in Concord, New Hampshire, tomorrow at 10 a.m. There are people who are in town from as far away as, say, Las Vegas, for example. Nevada,
no excuses.
Anyway, who have come for support to support Ian in his sentencing trial. I wish more than anything for anybody who even remotely considers themselves an activist or a mover to New Hampshire for the freedom movement to do whatever the hell you can to get to this trial. I would love to see the courthouse packed. I would love to see standing room only outside the courthouse when it's over. It's 10 a.m. tomorrow at the federal courthouse in Concord, New Hampshire. It's not hard to find. Throw that in your search
55
engine.
55 Pleasant Street.
Oh, you even know the address?
I do.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
And I don't know why it's called Pleasant Street.
That sure ain't pleasant.
Needs to be renamed. Be prepared when you go into the courthouse to empty all of your pockets. Don't bring firearms or weapons of any kind. They will confiscate them from you. You do have to go through a metal detector kind of a thing. It's much like airport security when you're trying to take
bring
a
flight. Bring an ID, all that. Right. No cell phone. Well, you can bring a cell phone or a vape and stuff like that, but they keep it up there at the security desk.
You're better off leaving it in your car.
Yeah,
leave it
in your car. Yeah.
But if you take the bus or you get a ride and you got to carry it with you, they will keep it for you and you can get it back on your way out.
So is there any expectation on what is going to happen tomorrow?
I have no idea. Okay. I'm trying to remain as optimistic as possible.
Right, and that's kind of what I'm thinking. So I've seen parts of other people's trials mm-hmm. that were broadcast,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to call him like the honorable, right? But the dude on the bench seemed to make reasonable decisions in the past, given the limitations of his position. Well, I'm not going to praise him.
In regards to this case, you mean, or just in general?
In regards to the Crypto Six.
This particular judge is named Joseph LaPlante.
Right.
With the useless E at the end of his name, LaPlante.
Yeah.
L-A, not L-E, not LaPlante, but LaPlante.
Okay.
At any rate, he's been the judge presiding over both Aria and Ian, and presumably the other, four people in the Crypto Six.
Well, then I'm less optimistic, because Arya's in jail.
Right.
Right.
Logic, to me, would say that whatever sentence they're going to hand Ian is going to be more than Arya, just because the prosecution painted the picture in such a way that Ian was the, sophisticated cyber criminal.
Well, this is where the judge gets a little bit of discretion.
Right.
Right, like they put it in the hands of the jury. Right. The jury got it wrong.
Now, the good news is that the biggest charge, the one where the undercover cop tried to pigeonhole Ian and get him to say some things that were, that weren't true, and then went ahead and visited one of his Bitcoin vending machines,
right,
and made a transaction there, and they tried to sew that all together as like, oh yeah, he knew what was going on, he was in on. No, he wasn't, and that was made clear during the trial. The evidence presented by the prosecution was made clear that no, indeed, that they basically tried to entrap him. The judge has overturned that particular charge.
Okay.
That's thrown out now. So
if his hands are tied, right, like, oh, I can only give him like the minimum sentence based on this, right, then at least, I don't want to give him too much credit, but credit where it's due, but at least he recognizes some sort of injustice that has taken place.
It appears that way.
Yeah.
And there are still, appeals to be made and all of that, which in theory he could stay out and stay home.
Pending appeal.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Whether that's going to happen or not,
That's sort of the best case scenario, I think.
Yes.
The worst case scenario, of course, is that they take him into custody immediately and,
But appeals are always procedural.
Yeah.
Right? It's, was there a procedure violated with the way the jury handed it down?
No. Well,
they just got it wrong.
My recollection of the proceedings was that Ian's attorney, Mr. Sisti, had made repeated statements, and it wasn't until well after the trial concluded that the judge ruled on, like, the overturning of this biggest charge. It was something that Ian's attorney sort of objected to, okay. And the judge said, I'll take it under advisement, and just sort of tabled it, allowed the rest of the trial to happen, and then took a whole bunch of time to mull it over, months even, before he made his decision on that. And so Ian's attorney did a few of those, and I don't know how many of that, you know, how many are still in play or whatever, but the appeal is definitely going to happen specifically because of the overturning of this one charge.
Okay.
So much so that I believe I read in some documentation that they're even asking for a new trial. Because they're saying that the jury was influenced mainly on this one particular charge that was now overturned. And so they think a new trial is warranted based on that alone. So that'll be part of the appeal process, I believe. I'm not a legal expert. I'm not an attorney. I've not been through a trial like this before personally, even as a spectator. So I don't know what all the moves are, what's next in line, how these things happen. So don't quote me on any of this, but feel free to do your own research. But I believe that those are the things that are about to happen.
Like, I want to be optimistic, but I want to be reasonably optimistic, right? Like, we can hope for the best, but if all signs are pointing down, right?
Yeah. We do have a film crew in here, by the way, just so you guys are aware. Not necessarily listeners, they don't care, unless they're watching over at watch.freetalklive.com.
Okay.
As expected, we expect to have media coverage at the trial tomorrow as well. So, again, the attorneys for the Crypto Six believe that a large showing of support may help in, acquiring at least a reasonable sentence or a lenient sentence.
And it seems like we're going to have a pretty good turnout tomorrow.
Well, that's what I'm that's what I'm asking everybody who's listening for. I'm asking if there's any way possible for you to take a day off, for you to drive up, for you
to
carpool. If Ian has helped you in any way, if Free Talk Live has benefited your life in some way, if you have been the recipient of some generosity, if Ian has taught you anything. I know that he would go around teaching people how to, how to download a crypto wallet and things of this nature, and and not charge for any of this stuff, right? So, like, he has definitely worked hard and given his time to people over the, and like activism specifically. Like, if you're an activist and you know Ian Freeman, I expect you to show up.
Absolutely.
I know Ian won't ever call this card, and I'm calling it for him. Right? Please show up, because it's important.
And I think it will make a difference.
I think it will.
And even if it doesn't, I mean, like, come and show your support.
Yeah. And even if it doesn't make a difference in his trial, show your support for one of the greatest liberty activists New Hampshire has ever seen. Right? In my opinion, I can't think of anybody else that might top the activism that Ian Freeman has made possible here in the state of New Hampshire. So
I would agree with that. I would say that's a pretty solid statement.
That's part of the reason why they're going after him, too.
Yeah.
Yes,
there's
but all the more reason for support to be shown.
Yeah.
So, again, if you can make it, the Concord, New Hampshire courthouse.
55 Pleasant Street, Concord, New Hampshire.
Tomorrow at 10 a.m. is the scheduled sentencing for Ian Freeman. 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you'd like to join us. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Thank you. USA News Update. President Biden voiced his wish for China's prosperity with the condition that their government abides by the rules. The statement was made during a press conference in Hanoi following his talks with Vietnamese leaders.
It's less about containing China. I don't want to contain China. I just want to make sure we have a relationship with China that is on the up and up, squared away. Everybody knows what it's all about.
The president acknowledged the current economic challenges facing China and said he would like to meet with Chinese President Xi. On the 11th day of the manhunt, Pennsylvania State Police say there's been a new sighting of escaped killer Danilo Cavalcante. Surveillance video showed him in Phoenixville, about 30 miles from Philadelphia. Morocco remains shaken by ongoing tremors after a devastating earthquake Friday night. The death toll now exceeds 2,000, with thousands more people injured. It was the strongest to strike that country in over a century. John Schaefer, USA News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
I dropped something on the floor. I needed you guys to fill in with some words there for a minute.
I was adjusting my chair back up so I could actually reach the microphone.
Words were said, though. So.
Thank you for putting sound into the microphone and therefore transducing it over the airwaves and into listeners' ears.
We need more callers.
Which is really weird if you think about it, that, you know, we're sitting here and we're talking into this thing, which is a microphone, and then at some other random places on planet Earth, people are intaking the sounds that we make into their heads.
Sometimes I forget that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just think we're just chilling.
It's easier that way. So at one point, I've been doing the podcast, my own podcast, whatever, for a while.
Anarchist Experience.
Right, thank you. And at one point in time, we got it on LRN.fm.
I think it's still on LRN, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
But it was a big goal at the time. Right. And I called up my co-host. I'm like, dude, we're on LRN.fm. He's like, oh no. I'm like, what do you mean, oh no? Like, this was the goal. Like, we made it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he was like, well, up until this point, right, I could just assume that nobody was listening.
Yeah.
Right. And now I know that there's, you know, thousands of people
there's
listening.
Definitely listeners.
There's definitely right listeners. And it made them nervous for a little
bit. You know what? Actually, that's a great point. So I make, like, content for, like, pre-recorded yoga classes, essentially.
Sure.
And it's the same sort of thing, right? It's like I see the views on YouTube, but you just assume it's, like, randos on the internet. So yeah, whenever, right, like, I would have family members and friends coming up to me, like, well, I've been taking your yoga classes, like, so cool. I'm like, whoa, you're actually, like, listening to me speak and teach a class. And of course, you know, I also teach yoga classes in person, but for some reason it's just, it feels different. It feels more like daunting.
To be fair, no one has ever come up to either of us. So like, oh my God, I've heard you. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's still listening, right? But it just feels different now.
The first Fork Fest that I attended, I was already on this show by the time I attended my first fest. And, you know, I was just hanging out, you know, helping set up and, you know, do the show and all this kind of thing. And, you know, the bathrooms are a little ways away from the Free Talk Live site. Not too far, but, you know, I was just like, hey, I gotta go hit the John. And I start walking sort of across all these campgrounds. And I see this guy, like, way off in the distance. And he's sort of making a beeline for me. And as I sort of jog left and jog right to get through the campsites, he jogs left and jogs right. And he's coming right for me, literally.
So
right?
Hand on your hip at that point.
So I thought
it's
about
Fork Fest, but you never know.
I thought about it, but, you know, and finally, you know, we intersect, and he goes, you're Captain Kickass, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like,
oh, he spotted you from like 500 yards.
Yeah. He's like, dude, can I get a selfie? And I'm
nice.
Like, oh, yeah, of course, dude. You know, there was no threat at all. It was just somebody who was a fan.
That's when you realized you were a celebrity?
I don't.
I expected way more.
Somebody else was like, I went to, it was the protest at, like, the governor's house or something.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody there was like, oh, my gosh, Captain Kickass is here, right? They had that, you know, that fanboy moment or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, so what's it like to be famous? I'm like, dude, I am not famous. And he's like, well, you are to me. And I'm like, okay, I'll give you that, right?
Yeah.
You know, you listen to the show. Thank you so much. I was, you know, trying to be the attitude of gratitude is what I was trying to get across, right? But it probably didn't start off that way because I'm like, whatever, dude.
You're I just trying to keep it real, you know? Like,
the appropriate answer is buy me a drink and I'll tell you. For future reference.
Yeah, I had somebody at Pork Fest this past year, actually, say, like, oh, do, like, people around here, like, treat you guys like celebrities? And, like, honestly, like, everybody at Pork Fest, I probably, the majority of these people I know personally, like, they all live in New Hampshire, like, these are my friends.
Yeah.
No one really feels that way about me. And so many, like, libertarian activist types are all doing their own thing. Like, they all have, a lot of people have a large internet following, or they have their own podcast, or
they
have
do their own videos.
Yeah, very successful business or something. I'm like, we're just,
they write books, they, you know,
we're just getting things done here, you know?
What is interesting about it is that, to some extent, everyone there is sort of a celebrity. Right?
Yeah,
not everyone.
Within the community.
But a large number of people who are there are activists of some sort.
Yeah.
Whether they're running for office, whether they're doing, you know, political activism, whether they're standing up for some issue or another, a majority of people there are activists of some sort, or at least participants in the activism, right? If activists go out and organize a thing, they're like, yeah, I'll come out, you know, they'll hold a sign or what, you know, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, I kind of equate now, having been to several of these Pork and Fork Fests, I kind of equate it to a bit of a family reunion.
Yeah.
That's how it feels to me. There's always, like, sub-drama, you know, where, like, oh, so-and-so got into a thing last year, and, you know, somebody threw water at his face or, what, you know, this kind of a thing. But then, like, everybody there is just like, oh, it's so good to see you again. I haven't seen you in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a lot of first-time meetings. Yeah, I've been coming to this thing for 4 years. I have yet to have met this person.
Yeah.
And that kind of a thing. So in that way, it reminds me very much of a very large family reunion, Freedom family, if you will.
Yeah, it does feel that way. And even though New Hampshire is a relatively small state, I mean, we do get a lot of people who are still, like, within the community that live elsewhere. But even, like, though New Hampshire's a small state, it's like I don't see everyone in Manchester all the time. I don't see everybody on the seacoast or, you know, people that live up in northern New Hampshire. Forget about it. I don't make it up there, you know, only a few times a year.
Living in, like, the southwest corner of New Hampshire sort of isolates us from the folks who live on, like, the seacoast and the big city, if you will, of Manchester. Yeah. It's not that big. It's like 100,000 people or something. So, well, it is a legitimate city. It's got, like, you know, tall buildings and freeway bridges and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, like, it is a legitimate city. It's just, you know.
It's a legitimate
city. It's not
city.
Seattle.
It's a legitimate city in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Right?
It is like the biggest city
around
in New Hampshire.
But around a big city. It's like a town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. People from Boston would be like, it's a small town.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
But people from Keene would be like, it's a big city.
Yeah.
So there is approximately 240,000 people, at least in the UK, who, well, will never be able to attend something like a Freedom Festival. Apparently, according to the World Socialist website, which is an odd source for something on Free Talk Live, in the UK, almost 240,000 people died in the past 2 years while waiting for national health care service or national health service care. The UK apparently has nationalized their.
Yeah, but how many people die in America under the capitalist health care system?
Well, I don't know the answer, but we'll talk about that. But first, let's go to your calls and thoughts. Unscreened caller, what's your name, please? You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, this is David Hathaway. I'm sitting here with my wife, Karen, in Arizona. And
hey,
we're just we're really bummed out about Ian's situation. And, you know, when I call in the past, we try to avoid being negative or getting on that subject. But, I mean, as it's gotten closer, it's really on our mind. And we intended to go out there and just kind of a family situation dropped out of the sky and we weren't able to do it. And we wanted to go out there days in advance so we'd have some time out there on the ground in New Hampshire and not just for Ian's sentencing. But I don't know, I hate to be pessimistic and negative, but I mean, it's just a real bummer, and we've just been feeling real bad about it for the last couple of weeks. And I'll let my wife Karen chime in if she has anything to say.
Sure.
Hi guys, we just love listening to you all, and we're just praying for Ian.
Well, thank you so much for the support.
It's getting real, right?
Yeah, it does feel real at this point.
Yeah, and you know, in my prior career, I've seen a lot of federal sentencings, and just the reality, I can keep hope that they'll let him stay out pending an appeal, but I've just never seen that happen. You know, they do the pretrial report, and they have the upper end and the lower end of the sentencing range, and then on the day that the sentence is pronounced, I mean, I hope the letters work. I wrote a letter. I know I think
Thank
over
you.
100 people wrote letters. But I just, like I say, I hate to be negative and I hate to be pessimistic. And I know Ian also held this show together and just kind of the whole setup there. I mean, he was the guy, you know, he had the attitude that he's got to make it work and he would do it himself. The satellite feed to Africa, the AMPS program, the affiliate stations, the day-to-day technical issues, the video feed. And, like I said, I'm trying not to be negative and I think it's obviously going to affect this show. Is somebody going to step in and have that level of intensity that he did to keep everything together on the technical side and the infrastructure and the marketing and the advertising and the AMPS program and everything like that? But
it is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I just hate to call in and just be bummed out, but that's kind of what it is. You know?
I mean, as much as this you know, is a call-in show to talk about whatever you want, it's okay to call in and be like, dude, I'm totally bummed.
Yeah,
like,
and I do appreciate your support. I mean, you know.
I mean, I'm totally bummed, too. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm here in the middle of it. And, you know, to that extent, we've had to have some difficult conversations internally with the crew and the hosts and the co-hosts and, you know, Ian and that kind of thing about, like, how do we weather this storm? What are our plans? What contingencies do we need to have in place? And so we think we have, you know, something to keep the show alive depending on what happens, regardless of which outcome happens. So the show is poised to go on, so you can rest assured that the show will continue. It's just what does does it look like long term or even short term, right? The best case scenario is, they let him out pending the appeal. And then the show continues as normal. But the worst case scenario is we need to make some adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will say Arya is probably going to get out around April. That's not set in stone, but that's probably when she will be getting out. And Arya also has a lot of tech knowledge, not on the level of doing the show that Ian would be.
But she has. But, she's the second wizard, as I like to call it. Ian's first wizard and Arya's second wizard as far as the operations of the show are concerned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also just on the principled aspect of Ian, not just to mention I get spoiled, I could just call in. Previously it was, potentially any night of the week he would be on, sometimes guest host, but now there's the other programming, but just the ability to call up and talk to him. But the principled attitude that he had about being completely against all aspects of statism. And there's people out there in the libertarian camp that will kind of have their little one pet issue that they need the state to be involved in this or in that. But
that's why we call them libertarians and not anarchists.
Yeah, Ian's propensity to just let's call them what they are, thugs, thieves, criminals, murderers, and, get past calling them anything like public servants or the government employees or cops or whatever, call them what they are. And just it's so rare. I have my podcast feed filled up with all kinds of libertarian podcasts, but it is actually quite rare to have somebody who is across the board on whatever it is,
Absolutely.
Anything,
he's one of the most principled dudes that I've ever met. I can't say that I've met anyone else more principled than Ian Freeman.
Dilly dilly.
Well, anyway, thank you, guys, and we'll go back to listening. I just wanted to I think that's the first time I've called in with a real kind of negative, bummed-out perspective, but that's the way it is, and that's reality. So anyway, I'll give it back to you guys, but thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Karen. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your call. We appreciate you both.
The reality is a part of it, right? Like we can be optimistic, but at some point, someone's got to make plans for the worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, what happens if they sentence and they take them into custody, and then that's it?
Yeah, I mean, prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Yeah. That's kind of, what it is.
So, and of course, we're in hurry up and wait mode right now. We got to wait for tomorrow.
Yep.
Right, tomorrow's the big day. We can't really make any decisions, we got to go this way, we got to go that way, we got to do this, we got to rewrite. We can't make any of those decisions until we find out what happens tomorrow.
And forgive me for, not expecting the government to do the right thing here, right?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, we've been disappointed before with this.
Yes. Yeah, David and Karen there, he kept repeating he doesn't want to be, sort of a bummed out voice. But, venting your feelings is fine. It is probably logical for you to expect the worst when it comes to what's the government going to do.
Yeah.
Right? I hope for the best.
Yeah.
But I expect the worst. And I think that is the smart position to take when it comes to government in doing anything, really.
In general, yes. Bet on that. Bet on them doing it wrong.
Doing it poorly, doing it
and you won't be disappointed.
In the harshest way possible, because that's all that government is. All government is force. That's it. It's the only tool it has. It's the only thing it does. And even if you point out to something that might look to you on the surface like them doing good, Social Security or something like that, or disability payments or whatever, even within that, they're first taking money from a bunch of other people, keeping a hefty chunk off the top for themselves, and then maybe doling some out in the guise of help.
And that's the thing. I don't care what you're doing with the funds. I don't care if it's a good program. It started with theft.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's all based on, bad stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Coercion is, the threat or initiation of violence. Taxation is based on coercion. Everything the government does is fundamentally flawed from a moral and ethical standpoint. And so, it behooves me to think that, they're going to do the harshest possible thing because that's what they do.
Yep.
That's their shtick. That's the whole point.
That's the go-to, man. That's the modus operandi.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not there to be human. Right. They're not there to have compassion, right? It's not known as the compassionate government of the United States, right? You know, sadly, like, it would be great, in my opinion, if agents of the state in their current position, I don't care what position you hold, if you're a judge in a federal court, if you're, you know, I don't know, a clerk at the Parks Department, right? It would behoove you to begin treating people as human beings instead of numbers. And instead of, oh, well, that's not in my job description, or, you know, you have discretion as a human being when you encounter other human beings and when you interact with other human beings. You have that discretion as a human being, regardless of what your employer says you have to do.
I think that's so important that we always have the freedom to essentially make whatever decisions we want.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are consequences to those decisions.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they will tell you, right? Like, oh, you can do whatever you want, but you're going to get arrested.
Yeah, but the time the time we're at in humanity as a society, as a global society, if you will, is we're at a point where it's time to do the right thing instead of what's legal, right? That's the point that we're at in the human race. We have the ability to communicate within seconds across the globe. Right, there's no reason for us to be treating other human beings as something other than human beings.
Yeah, and that's I think we do need to be more evolved than that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, war and, you know, people have been torturing each other and treating each other poorly for all of humanity. But you'd think at this point, like, we would start evolving from that. Why are we still still with the war, still with torturing people, still with stealing from people?
And, like, the optimist in me wants to say, well, we are, and that's why something like the Free State Project exists, right? Evolution takes time. The first people who ever said, hey, you know what, I think it's wrong for us to be keeping humans as slaves.
Yeah.
Right? There was only, like, one guy at first. Then there was, like, maybe three, right? And it took a long time because of communication and geography for, like, that to become, like, a group of people. And it took a long time for that group of people to be, you know, to have that idea permeate to other people where it became a thing that people wanted to do. And so that's kind of where we're at. We have the advantage, of course, with the freedom movement here in New Hampshire of fast and far-reaching communication. Right, this show is one of those things, right? All the podcasts that you mentioned and other media that other activists create, right? That's all, you know, worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the age of technology.
Yeah.
I mean, I could text somebody and they'll get it immediately. I mean, you know, 100 years ago, it's like, what, am I using the telegraph or writing a letter?
So the hope is that the philosophies of freedom, the idea that we should just start with the non-aggression principle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's easy.
Like, hopefully it doesn't take as long as it did to end slavery as it did, as it, you know, will to get people to go, hey, this is a good place for humanity to start treating people as humans. Was there any harm to a person or a person's property? If the answer is no, then there was no crime.
And I will still contend that whereas the non-aggression principle is a good starting place, right, you have to anticipate those that will not extend the same courtesy.
Sure.
And those people must be met with violence.
In self-defense, yes.
In self-defense.
Yes.
However you want to justify it.
Yeah.
But there's a fundamental mistake that a lot of people, you know, advocates of the non-aggression principle, libertarians, what have you, and that's the non-violent aspect of it. Like some may call it pacifism, right? And I am not convinced that that path will ever work.
Well, to be fair, there are pacifists within the larger freedom movement here in New Hampshire.
Understood.
But there's also people who are not.
Right.
And that also doesn't have anything to do with the non-aggression principle. Like you're saying, you can use self-defense.
Yes.
I get it. But there are those that won't. Right.
And they don't have to.
There's a mantra. Right? It used to go like, no justice, no peace, right?
Right.
And what we see all over the place...
Is no justice. But yet no
But
outcry.
No retribution, right?
Yeah.
No setting those people straight so that they lean more towards non-aggression and justice. And the reason for that is because no one wants to get violent yet, right? On the scale that it would take to make that happen.
Right.
And go ahead.
I'm just going to say, like, for me personally, I wouldn't go out of my way to use violence. Like, oh, well, this, you know, the police, they're, you know, they're doing all these things. I see them doing all these horrible things to people. I'm not going to go out of my way to, like, bomb the police station.
Well, we understood.
But if they come to me and they're threatening me, that's a different story. Once you start threatening me and my family and my friends.
We'll see.
Directly,
we did see,
you know,
in the burning of the Minneapolis police department.
Oh, yeah.
We did see violence.
Yeah.
You know, and that type of a thing. And, you know, now they're apparently paying those people.
Okay.
Like, that was their answer. Like, people who rioted and helped burn the police station during that incident. I'm trying to remember where
they're
it was.
Paying,
Minneapolis or whatever.
Yeah,
they're
was,
paying the rioters?
People sued, and somehow the city is like, yeah, we're just going to settle this and pay everybody some money.
Good.
Okay.
If that's the case, then fine. Right? But on the scale necessary, and the second part of my contention is there are those that want to call for peace.
Yeah.
Right, like, oh, we don't want to get violent, right? Well, the people who are getting violent, right, they understand that may not make it right, but it does make it so, right? And if you can be the most violent and have your way, number one, unfortunately, that leads to a level of freedom not granted to the rest of the populace. Right, like on an individual level, those in power can do more than you can.
Well,
as a plebe,
a truly good man is a man who is dangerous.
Yes,
but has it under control.
Yeah, that's Jordan Peterson quote. Yeah.
Right,
understood. But the ones that don't have it under control, that use the violence of the state, use the political violence, right? They get away with more.
But they do.
They
yes,
can
absolutely
do the stuff that you can't do as right. an individual citizen.
Right. Because
you can't do drugs, but Hunter Biden can.
Right. In the White House, no less.
In the White House. And then it's a family issue. Right. You can't do that, but right. they can. And they can because they have the power, and they keep that power through violence.
I am right. as surprised as you that something hasn't happened already. I anticipated something to pop off with, like, the what was the Seattle, the World Trade Organization, those
okay.
riots way back in the day.
Sure.
A couple decades ago now. I half expected something to pop off with, like, the Bundy stuff.
Yep.
The Bundy Ranch and that kind of thing.
Yep.
I expected far more than what we saw in the Minneapolis. I think that was a Black Lives Matter
yep.
Riot. I expected more than what that, you know, to happen. So I don't know, you know, what will, if anything, you know, sort of get people to a point where they figure that. I think that instead the way out of this is to build our way out of it, the Buckminster Fuller quote.
Yeah.
In order to change something, don't fight the existing thing. Instead, build a better way around it.
Understood. But you have to defend your better way against the existing thing.
Yeah.
There's no way around that.
Yeah.
Because those with the power who are willing to use violence will use that violence against you, because that's what works for them.
603-283-6160. There are some calls on hold, so if you're calling, please keep trying. We'll get to your calls and thoughts coming up here on Free Talk Live. We'll talk more about this 240,000 people who died in the past 2 years waiting for National Health Service. It's Free Talk Live, the Sunday Night Edition. More coming up.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.